And welcome to another edition of Monday Film Sports Line Radio High School Sports Show. It's quite a long title once again.
We'll shorten it down one of these days.
No, figure it out. That's Jonathan Bishop for Thumb Tuggeter Sports. It's week one recaps of high school football in the books now, Thursday, Friday, and even Saturday at one point. And other sports notes of note. Today in St. Lake County, also, it's the first day of school for St. Lake County schools. Other schools have been in session. I think, I believe, what, have they started it or are they going
they
next week?
They started last week.
Did they?
So did Lakers.
Wow. There is a couple of schools that are waiting until after Labor Day, I think.
That I don't know.
Possibly in Huron County. I don't know. We do know that high school football has started, and we have a recap of what we have been able to gather together, talk about those teams, and give our take on what week two holds. Some big wins for a lot of teams, I would say, in the BWAC and also in the Greater Thumb Conference alone. Also, some questions almost answered. I think we'll know by week two also. We'll be right back. Well, actually, I'll do the scores. I'll do the scores first. How about that?
You weren't prepared for this, though.
I am. I got it on the website here. So you can go to stlakebroadcasting.com. Go to the Daily News section and click on the sports section, and it'll be right there. So, let me get my music ready here. I always got to have that special music ready. I'm waiting for this one to end. So, fantasy football, have you started? When are we starting that? Next week? Or
I think the draft's next week. I'm in the championship with fantasy baseball with Paul Adams right now.
Really?
One week one, now I got to take him down this week, and okay. I am the champion.
You think you will be?
It's going to be a tough one.
Okay. All right. Thursday football game. We had this Thursday night as well. You had a North Branch game.
We had about 8 minutes of a North Branch
game.
That's
it. So you got 8 minutes, and we got a one quarter in.
Yeah, 3:55 on the clock in the first quarter. Lightning struck. It looked great to the south. We got out of the press box and looked to the north and we went,
yeah.
Oh.
Weather really caused havoc. There was three confirmed tornadoes, maybe four, in the state of Michigan also.
Yeah, it was a wicked night.
It was. It was fascinating. It was kind of scary. My backyard was flooded.
I got up north by my house.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah?
Nothing.
Like today right now. So I just actually finally walked outside and checked it out. All right, Brown City wins, though. They resumed the game at 3 o'clock Friday. Got the win 68-6 over Pack Pirates. Brown City 1-0, and they look pretty good. You know, a lot of the role backup players are now starters this year, so.
Plug and play.
Yes, looking pretty good. We'll see just how well they are when Deckerville takes on Brown City. It'll be our Week 4 coverage game. You're going to see them. Deckerville Wednesday night.
Yep.
Wednesday, a hump day that quick.
Hey, TTS is going for 4 games this week.
Good luck.
I'm trying to set a new record.
I used to do that. So
yep. Well, yeah. I got nothing better to do. Eddie.
I did 6 or 8 in 2 days.
You were married. I'm not, so I got all the free time in the world.
Okay, you need a lady.
Possibly, if you want me to slow down.
Maybe Goldie Hawn or the Wildcats, or maybe it might help you out because they got the win over the Caseville Eagles, 76-20. The Cat gets the bird there. Kingston Cardinals defeating the Akron Fairgrove Vikings, shutting them out 62-0. Other eight-player football action from Friday. We had Dryden over Carsonville, Port Sanlac, 52-12. Who picked Carsonville to win? Oh, that guy right there. He just walked in.
I stand by my decision.
Okay. You did say they would score.
Well, I said they were going to win, so obviously they're going to score.
Okay.
They're going to win this week. They host Akron Fairgrove.
Deckerville matched Brown City's points total with 68 points and shutting out Ashley 68-0.
Poor Ashley. What did we ever do to her? She was here last week, and now she's not back.
Okay. KPEC Chiefs.
I don't blame her.
And that sets you up for Deckerville and KPEC this Wednesday. As KPEC shut out North Huron 51-0.
Yeah, so looks like Wednesday we're in tune for a lot of offense.
Yeah, we'll see.
Or a lot of defense because both teams threw a shutout also.
See. Yeah, Auburn Hills, Oakland Christian defeating Bay City All Saints 22-16. The Burton Atherton and New Haven Merritt game apparently was canceled.
Yes, due to field conditions.
Right, and they
played. They weren't the only ones.
They had to play during the day too, so. Yeah.
Yes, yep.
All right, and we had 11-player football. Cass City defeating Bad Axe 38-8. Marlette over Carroll 22-2. Carroll got a safety in Marlette.
Yes.
They were up 2-0.
Marlette defense pitches the shutout.
Marlette's offense, that's a different story.
Millington taking down Lakers 32-3. I want to know who kicked that field goal.
Jay Sears.
Yeah.
Okay.
Second team kicker this year.
Croswell Lexington defeating Saginaw Swan Valley 37-7.
In one quarter.
Quarter and a half.
Oh, yeah. Quarter and a half. Yeah. Less than a half.
Yes, yes.
The Richmond Blue Devils, well, the devil got his due over the Saints of St. Clair 24-6. The Elmont Raiders apparently finished their game over Marysville, shutting out the Vikings 39-0. Yale Bulldogs over the Dearborn Heights Annapolis team 54-0. Other 11-player games, our game of the day. I did two games in one day. Sandusky, as well as you. Sandusky defeating Reese 36-28. Quite a competitive game. You were there. It's great atmosphere, man.
Yeah, great game. Yeah, great atmosphere.
Great weather.
The official first game of the Sandusky Wolves football team. I know you guys kind of talked about it on air during the pregame, but they were the Sandusky football team last year. So it was nice to finally get the Sandusky Wolves going, and great showing from them.
Yeah, as well as Reese. He really showed up, man.
Oh, man.
For a half, Reese looked like one of the best teams in the thumb.
After a down year last year, the Rockets looked poised to maybe make some noise in the
Even
West.
Jonathan felt like, I don't know if they're going to be that great. And then showed some offense.
After week one, it looks like the West is wide open.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I really like the offense that Reese had. You know, passing in the running game, options there.
It caused Sandusky some problems for about a half. Yeah. Credit to Sandusky, though. You know, they went into halftime.
Yeah.
Coach Jacobson said, you know, we didn't really make any adjustments. We just started doing what we needed to do. But for a half, Reese looked awesome.
All right, so Sandusky gets a win, a cross-conference game. Sandusky will have another cross-conference game. Also, we'll go through that list. Harbor Beach, you cover this game over Marine City Carter Mooney. Beautiful field at East China Stadium, by the way.
Yeah, and last time we were there, we had to be up on top of the roof. This time we were in the press box.
You were?
Yep, I got to be in the press box this time.
They put you in the press box?
Yep.
Really?
Let you in.
I don't know. There was tons of room there.
Really, there was. Yeah. Huh? I like it up top, so,
We had a great vantage point from inside the press box. Beautiful stadium and a great game.
Yeah. Okay, they didn't tell you to keep it down or anything?
Nope, never yelled at us once.
All right, 22-13 was a win for Harbor Beach. We saw them, Marlette played Cardinal Mooney last year in the playoffs where Cardinal Mooney came on top. So.
Yeah. Marine City Cardinal Mooney graduated was it
Everhart? Was it?
Nope, he's still there.
Everhart's back.
That's right.
Hazenlater?
Yeah, something like that. The running back.
Yeah, he was pretty much unstoppable against Marlette. But that's a good showing by Cardinal Mooney with a new coach there. Great win for Harbor Beach.
Cardinal Mooney's got a new coach?
Yeah, yep.
Boy, I did not know that.
Yeah, he's been on the staff. That was his first game.
All right, and then also in the Greater Thumb Conference, it was Ubbly over Clarkston Everest, 50-13.
That should have been 50-0.
Saginaw Michigan Lutheran over Unionville Sebring, 37-14. Algonac over Vassar, 29-14. Memphis shutting out Genesee.
Welcome back to 11-man football, Genesee.
Yeah.
Wow. Armada takes down Marine City. This is a third straight year, I think.
Second,
yeah.
Sure.
Last year was the overtime win upset.
Yeah.
That was 40-20. Emily City defeating Hazel Park 48-0. Ada Forest Hills Eastern defeating North Branch 21-6.
Well, Ada Forest Hills drove 2.5 hours in 3 days and made sure they took care of business.
Yeah, you better win if you're going to come back the next day or
2 days later.
Saturday, yeah.
Because it was like rescheduled twice, right?
Well, yeah, that was scheduled for Thursday night, got canceled due to the weather. Friday, Forest Hills Eastern said they couldn't make it back, and then so they finally got it played Saturday, and Forest Hills Eastern took care of business.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so those are your scores. We're going to talk about the recap and all that and looking ahead also. That's Mike Gallagher of the Sand Lake County News Sports section. What's on the front cover of the sports?
We got, obviously, Sandusky football. Yeah. That was a big win for them.
Over 300-plus yards.
Yeah. Yes, great game from Carter Krause, Jackson Reinke. They'll both be featured in the story. Lawson Cooper, he's going to be on the front page. He had a big night for Brown City, but it was a big night and day for Brown City. We got Mike Holes winning his first game as the head coach at Croslex. We've got some coverage from the Mike Jackson Memorial Invitational at Croslex. And then
it's cross country, by the way. Yeah.
Yes, cross country. Yep. And then we got a story about the Sandusky tennis team, which last week received funding from the district to get new courts, which is long overdue.
That's a pretty penny.
It's something that's been needed to be done for a while, and it's something that the Sandusky tennis program deserves because They've been so good the past few years. Honestly, for a while now, they've been a very good team. And as we see tennis programs slowly fade away from schools at the in the thumb, Sandusky tennis is thriving. They always have a ton of kids on the team. They're always competitive. You know, they've been academic all-state for four straight years. And they're rebuilding a little bit this year. They graduated a very talented senior group last year. But I'm excited to see the district invest in this program.
All right, I'm really surprised that you're wearing red, but it's a Sandusky shirt, not a Peck shirt.
Sandusky.
You're a Pirate.
Yep.
Well, you're wearing Sandusky. Okay.
This is a collector's item as well because it just says Sandusky. Okay. No Wolves, no Redskins, just Sandusky.
That was about a six-month window is all you could get those.
Yep.
All right, we'll be right back. Take a break. We'll be back here on Thumb Sports Line Radio right after this break. All right, welcome back to Monday Thumb Sports Line Radio. High school football recaps from week one. Week one in the books, man. We got it out. We got it. We got the games done, and man, a lot of delays.
It was a cluster Thursday and Friday.
Yeah, well, it wasn't the ideal start to the season Thursday night, but Friday night was beautiful.
Give credit to the teams that either A, schedule. Just went, we're not even going to deal with the weather, and rescheduled, or B, got their games in.
Okay.
Everybody else?
Yeah.
In the BWAC, Algonac got the win over Vassar, 29-14, despite having to wait an extra day because they postponed their game also. Mm-hmm. Running back David Clemens rushed for 136 yards, one touchdown to help the Muskrats win its first game since October 15th, 2021. Just in a couple years before that, they had some great teams and all that we had covered here on Thumb Tugger Sports Crew way back then.
And last year, they didn't even have a team.
That's right.
They did not.
So what a way to come back. You know, you take a season off, and that's what they said. They said,
not easy to get a win over a team that's been playing for, you know.
Mm-hmm. And Vassar's been floating with that 500 mark, potentially a playoff team, and we really thought that was a game that they could win. And Algonac, give credit to them, man. They went down there. They took care of business.
Also, Clemens, as I said, one of the four players who scored on the ground with halfback Evan Sadler, 12 carries, 85 yards. Quarterback Cole Thaler, 11 carries, 73 yards. And running back Donovan Swedzkowski, one carry, 2 yards. Like you said, it's great to get a win coming back. You know, against Vassar, like you said, is a legitimate team. Kind of tough to play against once you're coming back. But I think Algonac wanted something to prove. Hey, we're back. Nice to be back in Leverton player football. They were borderline having a team, but risk of injury could just cancel games. And they kind of probably did the right thing by just canceling the season. Well, work on the JV program.
Last season, they had good numbers, but not with the upperclasses. So they didn't have a ton of seniors, didn't have a ton of juniors. But the JV had pretty good numbers. I don't know how they performed last season. I mean, it's hard enough to track down varsity stats, let alone JV. But that's huge for Algonac because it really vindicates all the work that they've put in over the summer. The kids that have stuck with it through the JV season, you know, those kids that didn't get to play varsity last year that stuck around. This could be huge for Algonac. I don't know, Eddie, who do they have next?
Up next for the Algonac Muskrats, they will have Almont Raiders.
Okay. Oh, wow. That's why you needed this one, because it's going to be tough to get wins in the BWAC, and that goes for everybody in the BWAC.
Yeah, but this schedule, listen to the schedule. Algonac will have Almont, Richmond, Croswell, North Branch, Armada, Yale.
Yeah.
That's brutal in there.
Yeah.
Because Richmond looked pretty dang good Thursday night, and that was a team last year. Yeah. They went 3-6, and I think we were all surprised Richmond went 3-6. So Algonac's going to have their hands full in the BWAC. Welcome back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a good and it's a good win. That's a good win. That's a kind of win that you should get, you know, if you're from the BWAC against a Greater Thumb Conference opponent. Another team that got a pretty good win was Imlay City over Hazel Park, 48-0. Spartans had a field day, had 332 yards of offense. Quarterback Matt Evans finished 4-for-6 for passing, 119 yards.
Nice.
And two touchdowns. Travis DuPont, who had three receptions for 110 yards. Yeah, they pretty much all went to him and two scores. Imlay City's four rushing touchdowns scored by three different players. Tanner Land, 13 carries, 31 yards, was responsible for two, while Travis Tramontana, three carries, 28 yards, and Brady Red, four carries, 18 yards. Each had one. By the way, thank you to Times Herald for the prep and the work they did on that, those two games there. Good win for Imlay City in the BWAC. We kind of neglected those two teams that we're just talking about there last week a little bit, kind of skimmed over them. For them to get those two wins, that's, you know, good to get your first win in the season like that. But now, just like Algonac, look at the schedule for Imlay City. North Branch, who did lose. Then they have Elmont, Armada, Richmond, Yale, and Croswell. Imlay City and Algonac schedule starts off. I think that's the toughest start for any team probably in the BWAC right now. But the BWAC pretty competitive as we look to the other teams here, looking at the recap.
Well, I mean, we said it in the preseason that, you know, despite what happened in the playoffs last year with the BWAC, they are one of the top football conferences at least in the area.
In the east side of the state, probably. Right, they beat up each other all regular season
so
long.
So it's hard to tell. But, you know, we saw it in week one. Everybody in the BWAC except for North Branch won. And North Branch might have had the toughest opponent week one.
Oh, by far.
But, you know, the fact that, you know, Algonac didn't have a team last year and they come out and win. Imlay City was down pretty bad last year, but they
1-8, I think.
Yeah, but they come back and get a win, and that's without the Dryden co-op.
And Imlay City finishes with Algonac and Flint.
Maybe so, we could say Dryden was holding them back.
Maybe, but
I don't think so.
They put up 52 points.
I say Dryden's got something to say about that, so maybe not.
All right, let's move on to the Croswell-Lexington Pioneers. Yeah. They got the win, a good win for the Croswell-Lexington Pioneers under their new head coach also.
Yep, head coach Mike Holes. He was on the staff from back in the early, well, mid-2000s, 2004 to 2009. And unfortunately, I didn't get to see much of the game. I started in Peck Brown City, and once that went into the weather delay, I headed over to Croswell, and I caught a couple of plays. But by that point, it was already 37-7. So the offense was as advertised. You know, it was the guys we've been talking about all summer. Espinosa at quarterback and Belly Grappi at running back. That game, it was called with about 5 minutes left in the second quarter. But despite that, Croslex was still able to put up 37 points. Espinosa was 8 of 12 for 159 yards, two touchdowns, and he added a rushing touchdown. Grappi, 14 carries, 70 yards, two touchdowns. And the fact that he was sitting at 14 carries, like halfway through the second quarter, that kind of tells you what Croslex wants to do this
year.
They
want to run the ball with Belly Grappi.
Belly Grappi the ball, which is pretty good game plan.
And then when Belly Grappi doesn't get the ball, they're going to put it in the hands of Gavin Espinosa and say, you do your magical things.
Yes. And last year, you know, Drew Hosterman battled injuries at the wide receiver position. And that was kind of a big loss for Croslex last year. But two names, Cody Mativier, he got some playing time last year, but he had two catches, 70 yards, and a touchdown. And then Miles Levitt, two catches, 60 yards, and a touchdown. So they've got options. The defense looked good for the three or four plays that I saw them. And, you know, they're going to go into that Richmond game. That's a team that Croslex has done very well against the past few years, but they're not going to take anything lightly, especially after what Richmond did to St. Clair in the opening week.
Total yard offense for Croswell rushing-wise, did they give you that or not?
They did, but I don't have it right here.
Okay.
But probably around
200 yards.
Maybe. I don't
know. It's tough to say. They only played a quarter and a half.
Yeah.
So take everything with a grain of salt. You know, they were probably on pace to rush for 300 and some yards and throw for 100 and
200 yards. So
yeah.
Well, they'll take on the Richmond Blue Devils at home. We'll be covering that game.
Oh, nice.
On WBGV 92.5 FM. We decided to cover that one. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a lot of coverage in this game also out there. Yeah. Me and Mike are going to try to figure out which side of the bleachers we want to sit in or if we want to be on the hill. Do you like the hill, Mike, or do you like the bleachers?
I like being on the field. No. I know. No, the hill's nice.
Okay. Trying to get advice on this.
Well, unfortunately, you got the sun coming down. And
that's right.
The press box is pretty blinding. Yeah. But that is going to be changed after this season, so you won't have to worry about that next year. But this year, I would recommend
the hill. What's the change you heard about on that?
Well, they're just going to be putting the press box on the other side.
Oh,
I don't know if it'll be a new press box or if they're just moving it, but
hopefully a new one.
They can have two of them, one on one side and one on the other side.
That used to be the home side of the field, and now it's on the away side of the field. So,
well, the Richmond Blue Devils, 120 rushing yards, according to this huddle stat keeper, and then passing yards, 83. Dominic Bonetti threw to his brother, do you believe, Anthony Bonetti. Making it 7-0 in the second quarter. There was no score in the first. J.J. Hollister, a 49-yard pass from Anthony Bonetti. Another touchdown for Richmond in the fourth. Charlie Hitzelberger with an 8-yard run for Richmond. And Colton Bartels, a 22-yard run also to make it 24-6. St. Clair got on the board with a 76-yard pass from Ben Farkas. Failed two-point conversion, but I think the game was because they had to stop it, and they decided to call that game also. Or they ended up finishing it.
They got that game completely.
They did finish it.
They started that game at, like, 6, I think.
Yeah, so they ended up finishing it, which is good. But they win 24-6, your final score for Richmond, who they will go up against Croswell this week.
Yeah.
This is going to be an iffy game because now Croswell defense is going to see some passing and, you know, running off. It's kind of similar teams.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we mentioned Ada Forest Hills might have been the best week one opponent. But
is it Grand Rapids, Ada Forest Hills?
It's just Ada. Well, it's Forest Hills Eastern, but they're located in Ada, which is just a suburb of Grand Rapids.
Okay.
So everybody calls them from Grand Rapids, but their school name is Forest Hills Eastern.
Yeah. So, you know, that might have been the toughest week one matchup in the BWAC. But Saginaw Swan Valley, you know, they're no slouches either. You know,
that's who Croswell beat with the final score of 37-7.
That bodes well for Croslex because usually in those Division IV playoffs, district championship, they end up playing either Freeland or a Swan Valley or something.
A Tri-Valley Conference team?
Yeah. No. Yeah. Well, SV, that would be... Is that Tri-Valley still or is that SVL?
Swan Valley?
Yeah.
That's Tri-Valley.
Tri-Valley.
Yeah, usually they end up playing one of those.
It's hard to keep up with the Tri-Valley. It's constantly changing.
So that bodes well for them that they're able to take care of business because I'm sure they're going to run to a Freeland or a Swan Valley once again come playoffs.
Yeah. A couple names to watch out for Richmond defensively. Joey Simmons had 7 tackles, 4 tackles for a loss, 1 fumble recovery, 1 forced fumble. And then Joey Judel, J-O-U-D-I or L, 10 tackles, 7 solo tackles, and a tackle for loss. Richmond will try and make this a defensive game, but we'll see. I don't know. That's going to be tough against Crosby.
They're looking for a bounce back year. Like you guys mentioned, 3-6 last year. And, you know, last 1, 2, 3 years losing seasons.
Mm-hmm. That's not normal for them.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So they're looking for a bounce back year. So we'll see what they can do. They have Croswell this week, and then they'll have Algonac, Yale, Emily City, North Branch, Almont in the season, and Armada and Clintondale. So,
just to wrap up our BWAC talk,
we got a couple more teams. Though,
Okay.
You want to save it?
Yeah, right. We could save it.
We still have Armada. We still have Almont. We have North Branch.
Yeah.
So, yeah, lots of coverage here. High school football, and then the Greater Thumb Conference, of course, NCTLA player football come your way. Our 6 o'clock news is on. Don't forget Tiger Baseball also about to be on at 6:15 p.m. They're taking on the Yankees.
Boom.
4-game series there. So we're not doing very... Is our record better than the Yankees or
no?
Okay. But, you know...
They're in last place in the East, but they're still...
They still have a winning record.
still better than us.
Okay. We'll be right back here at Sportsline on WMIC. Mike Gallagher, the San Luis County sports reporter and writer and journalist, and I don't know what else you are. Oh, show host.
Yeah, don't mention what else I am.
Yes. And Jonathan Bishop from Thumb Chugga Sports. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to our second part of our Latham Sports Line Radio High School Sports Show. I'm Eddie Fury, along with Mike Gallagher, the sports editor, reporter, writer for the Sandlot County News. Pick up the Sandlot County News. In fact, you want to pick it up right now, but still on newsstands because the fall sports preview is still in there.
Yeah, yep.
So, and I know you've been posting stuff on your Facebooks out there also. So
yeah, you know, we got some sports back, so now we can post some stuff on Facebook. We've been posting some photos and stuff like that. So,
and the edition comes out Wednesday also, and the deadline every Monday, right?
Sorry, what was that?
Deadlines every Monday.
Yes, deadline, yeah.
You have an action-packed Monday, dude.
Yeah. Well, you know, but last year I would go from deadline to the Sandusky School Board meeting, so at least I got one of those things off my plate.
Some people are still going to school board meetings.
Oh, yeah, yep.
Somebody we know, but okay. All right. North Branch Broncos lose to Forest Hills Eastern, 21-6. You were supposed to do that game yourself, Jonathan, but the reschedule is, you know, makes it impossible to try to.
Yeah, I had some already things planned for Saturday.
Yeah. No score, 0-0 in the first quarter. 7-6, though, in the second at the half. 7 points by Forest Hills. And Ron Forrest run to the fourth quarter with another 7, winning 21-6 on Saturday afternoon. I cannot find the detailed stats for Forest Hills, but I know that North Branch had 161 total yards, 139 rushing yards, 22 passing yards also. 10 first downs and, new era here.
Yeah, it's a new era. In the snippet we saw Thursday night, a little bit of the option. Mason Howe was one of the big leaders for them. Got a couple carries right off the bat. Forest Hills drove the ball right down the field before the lightning struck and paused the game, but that's a tough opponent for North Branch. Yeah. Give credit for them going out and scheduling them. Talking to the people from North Branch while we were in our weather delay, said they really wanted that game. They really wanted that win. They said they needed it because there was a lot of playoff points coming their way. And they said they would have loved their team for 2 years ago to play that team. They thought that's when they could have really, taken it to them. They go, this team, it's still a little bit of a not necessarily rebuilding year, but not the same team they had the past couple of years, but they believe in Coach Chris Soroka, and they believe that they're going to be fighting for the BWAC title in the playoff spot.
It's kind of like a mini rebuild right now with North Branch. Lost a lot, but
it's an overturn.
They did have some comeback here. I do have the yards. 281 total yards for Forest Hills Eastern. 140 yards passing, 141 yards rushing. Well-balanced offense there for Forest Hills. And it's not, like you said, Jonathan, it's nothing to slouch about a tough team like Forest Hills, as you said. So
I have a question for JB. Yes. You saw the North Branch game.
A little bit.
A little bit of it. Yeah. What type of offense were they running?
The option.
Okay, because I had heard going away from the wing tee.
It should be like Reese's, I believe.
Are they adding it to the mix, you think?
We saw one drive.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it lasts about 6 plays.
Yeah. It is kind of a different mentality from North Branch because we've seen the past couple years they opened with, was it Detroit Mumford? It was some team that they just basically
last year, Thurston.
Oh, Thurston. Yeah.
They just handled them the last 2 years, no problem.
Yeah.
And now they go out. Well, if you were talking to North Branch, they couldn't find a week one opponent was the issue, and finally they called Forest Hills Eastern, and they said yes, and they went, okay, here we go, I guess.
Well, tip of the hat to North Branch of taking a team like that, of that caliber on. Do you score points if the record is good?
You still get points if they have a really good record. You just don't get the bonus points of beating them.
Right, because we're still now on the point system, no longer the 6-win system. So,
yep.
All right, so this week North Branch will take on Emily City in week 2, followed by Yale and Almont, and then they'll have Algonac, and then Richmond, Armada, Croswell, and then Holly at the end of the season. So a little bit of some mini tough runs there for North Branch to overcome there. We'll see how they do in this season. Last year, 8-2, 7-3, 9-1, 7-3, 8-3. Those were the years with Jeremy Furman under the helmet there. And where did he go? Coach Furman?
He's at Flint Kersley.
Yes.
Kersley. So not too far.
Nope.
Would have been nice to see them schedule a game, Avery, down the I-69 drive and come down M-53. So, All right. So they got Emily City this week. Looking at some other Blue Water Area Conference teams, it was the Armada Tigers, Blue Water Area Conference champions, co-champions who beat North Branch at Armada. We did that game together, I think, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Nope. Yeah,
yeah,
we did.
Yeah,
me and Mikey did Armada down there. I was trying to think.
Yeah, so Armada gets the win over Marin City, 40-20. That's a great win right there. Underclassmen coming in and like filling the roles again, so they kind of reload, but they already had a lot of good players from last year. They were young, coming back this year also. Jackson Malberg ran for more than 100 yards, scored 2 touchdowns. Junior quarterback Lucas Pratt, remember him?
I think he's the real deal, man. If you want to talk about a
junior right now,
a pro style quarterback, yeah. One that's can drop back in the pocket and really read a defense and throws a beautiful ball, he's one to watch out for.
And he had a pair of touchdown passes in the win, so they're showing that balance of offense. Armada coach Kyle Rowley impressed with the team in that win. Thank you to the Macomb Daily for their recap on that. Also. The Tigers jumped ahead early. Junior Philip Hernandez getting the Mariners fumble, ran it back for 80 yards for a touchdown. Special teams there, but when defense can score and help out your offense, that's great. And they stopped Marin City on downs on its next position. They went 60 yards in 6 plays for Armada to lead 14-0 at that point. On a drive with a 40-yard pass from Lucas Pratt to tight end Drew Keating, ended in a 5-yard run by Marlborough also. Marin City tried to come back to tie the game on a 2-yard run, but Armada, you know, again, regained the lead. 5 plays, gave minimal yardage. Marlborough took a pitch from Pratt 50 yards down the right sideline for the score also. And, well, you know, 40-20, that's a huge win over Marin City.
Yeah, so. And, you know, in the preseason, you know, we go out to these practices and we talk to the coaches and we try and find out as much information as we can about our own teams. In the BWAC, it's a little bit tougher because we don't, like, you know, Cross Lex is the only BWAC school that I actually cover. And we all know, you know, how good the BWAC is. I actually saw Armada last year when they lost to Cross Lex. You know, I really don't have much knowledge about Armada. I didn't know what to expect from them coming into the season. But a win like that, that kind of answers some questions.
Yeah, I really thought they were the favorite to repeat as the BWAC chance with Cross Lex this year, giving them a run for their money instead of North Branch, who they shared it with last year. And like you said, Mike, taking out Marin City 40-20, that just showcases that they are the team to beat with because Cross Lex, man, you beat them last year, but you lost to North Branch and you lost to Almont, so you didn't get a share of it. So, man, to be the team to beat, you got to beat the team. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, well, Armada is kind of on top. That's going to be a big-time matchup.
And the year before when Armada beat Marin City, that was an overtime game, correct?
Yep.
So, I mean, that kind of goes to show, like,
they're growing.
The step. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, another season under Kyle Rowley, who, you know, one of the best coaches in the BWAC, which – you know, it'd be hard to pick a best coach in the BWAC because there's so many great coaches. But, you know, he's reinvented that program there at Armada.
So Armada will have Yale coming up. And speaking of growing teams with, you know, a third-year head coach, Garrett Grunman, now and this year, they get a win over Dearborn Annapolis. Now, it was against Dearborn Heights Annapolis, you know, team they usually kind of beat.
That's,
you know,
a team that they have beaten even when they aren't – even when Yale wasn't particularly good. So they did what we expected them to do, but you know you got to do that. So
Armada does have a little bit of a space in here. You know, they'll have Yale in week 2 this week. They'll have Croswell Lexington, and then they have Emily City, and then Almont, Algonac, and then North Branch, Richmond, and then Corona. They have another
Corona. One. That's a tough game down the season
for Armada the schedule. So you know, props to them. But Yale gets a week 1 win over Dearborn Heights Annapolis, 56-0. Last year, it was 41-6. And then back in 2021, Grumman's first year, 28-8. So you see the progression and the growth there for Yale. They let me see. Look at the stats that I have. Do I have it up here? Yes, I do. Okay. 201 yards, 12 of 14 for passing-wise for Yale with 3 touchdowns. And rushing-wise, 219 yards, rushing 17 carries also for the Yale Bulldogs. So kind of, again, balanced good offense there for Garrett Grunman and the Yale Bulldogs, who they have Armada this week. It's going to be a true test. It looks kind of like maybe similar teams. Like they're trying to balance their offense. Of course, the meat and potatoes for Armada has been the rushing game. So we'll see how that goes. All right. Elmont Raiders shutting out the Marysville Vikings 39-0. You know, Elmont seems to always be right there. You know, they'll have a couple, even in their down years, they're still a team you cannot look past.
Mm-hmm.
And they when they beat last year at Croswell.
That was a big win.
That was a big win for Elmont.
Yep.
And I think it kind of like really deflated Croswell because when the Croswell played North Branch later on, Harper's kind of had a little bit of a blueprint in how to beat Croswell at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Elmont Raiders, 401 total yards. They like to run the ball, 367 total rushing yards.
Yep, that sounds about right. Elmont Raiders.
Over Marysville, though, you know.
Yeah, and that was a team there was, you know, some talk before the season that they would be a much improved team, and they still might be, but, you know.
Hey, but the BWAC taking it to those, what's the conference, the MAC conference?
Yep.
BWAC taking it to the MAC conference, Richmond over St. Clair, Elmont over Marysville, both pretty convincingly.
So is it the BWAC won all MAC matchups?
They only had two MAC matchups, but they swept it. Richmond over St. Clair and Elmont over Marysville. And the only team the BWAC
Marine
not
City.
To...
Yeah, Marine City.
And Marine City, so 3-0.
Yeah. 3-0.
And the only team the BWAC not to win was North Branch.
Yeah. The Jacob Stewart, 156 yards, 9 carries for 2 touchdowns for Elmont. Chase Patani is another brother in there, some that had played before. That was 114 yards and 1 touchdown also. But Boholski, he's got a kid in there playing also. So Elmont, up next for Elmont. They have in week 2 Elginac Muskrats this week and then Emily City. And then the gauntlet for Elmont is North Branch, Armada, Croslex, Richmond, and Yale, and then Ogama Heights to finish the season for the Elmont Raiders. They were 6-4 last year, 6-5, and then that shortened season 3-3. The last time they had just one loss was back in 2019 when they had a great year, 13-1. Where they went to the state semifinals or championship game. No, we did that game, wasn't it, Jonathan? 13-1 team, yeah. We did that state championship game.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, so. All right. I think that's all the BWAC teams. We got them all covered there, I think. Did I get them all?
I believe so.
Yep, we did. Okay. All right. When we come back, after this weather break and our commercial break, we're going to talk about, where do you want to start off? The Greater Thumb Conference. We'll go to the Greater Thumb Conference. Sandusky game, Ubbly game, Harbor Beach game.
Yeah, we had
Marlette.
We had 3 out of their 5-6 games covered.
So we'll talk about all the Greater Thumb East teams that were in action. When we come back.
Let's have Scott call.
All right. Hello, welcome back to Thumb Sports Line Radio, high school sports show. I'm Eddie Ferry, Jonathan Bishop for Thumb Tailgater Sports. What's your coverage this week?
4 games.
What? Did you say 4?
4. One of these weeks, I'm going to hit 5.
You trying to pull off a Fury?
Learn from the best, right?
Wow, how about that?
KPEC at Deckerville Wednesday, Thursday night doubleheader will feature...
Wednesday game.
Mm-hmm.
KPEC Deckerville, okay.
Thursday night will feature the Cassidy Redhawks at the Harbor Beach Pirates.
Ooh, that's a good one there.
Yeah, I'm still not
like
sure
that. Now I'm intrigued by that game.
And then also the Reese Rockets at the Bad Axe Hatchets.
Kind of intrigued about that one.
After
what we just saw from Reese, you know,
and
with their offense.
Friday night, it'll be USA at Marlette.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Mikey, I'm going to see you twice this week. 3 times this week.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
Well, and, you know, I know the schools probably don't necessarily like the Wednesday games or, like, for this week, Marlette, USA. You know, everybody wants to play on Thursday because of the holiday.
But we love having these multi-night games.
Oh, it's perfect. Yeah.
Get all these coverages in.
Especially early in the season because you want to see all your teams. Last week, I was able to see Peck, Brown City, Sandusky. I'm not going to count Croslex. But this week I'm going to be able to see Deckerville, CPS, and then Marlette.
The more teams we see at the beginning, at the end of the year, we can really narrow down where we think the primetime matchups are at. You know, who's fighting for a playoff spot and stuff like that, and who really, what teams are going to fit up against each other a lot nicer than, you know, some other matchups.
Mm-hmm. Somebody calling in?
Yeah, Scotty B.
All right, there he is.
Hey.
Hey, Scotty B., Tuscola County Advertiser. How are you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
Great. We're going to talk about this game right now. The Sandusky Wolves against the Reese Rockets. Good game here. It was 8-8 at the end of the first. Then a score by Reese took the lead 16-0. Sandusky was like, uh-oh. But the Wolfpack gathered up. They scored 6 points. The third quarter, shutting out Reese. And then 22 points by Sandusky, 12 points by the Reese Rockets. 36-28. I was impressed how, Scotty, how Reese didn't give up in this game. I was impressed by their offense also. They played pretty hard against this Sandusky team.
Yeah, that was my first look at this Reese squad this season. Obviously, a less than exciting season for them last year. Wasn't sure what to expect. Second season under Coach Kerry Messing. And, yeah, they came out. They had a great first half. They were running the ball at will against Sandusky. They were scoring. And then it seemed like Sandusky figured it out in the second half and was able to shut down some stuff. Reese was able to figure out something else. They got that going towards the end with the quarterback moving around a little bit and getting things open and throwing the ball a little bit more. But it was just too little too late. And a nice second half, by Sandusky. They were able to figure it out at halftime there. They were able to get things straightened out. And, great job by Sandusky picking up that win.
Yeah, 387 total yards. So the time of possession, was in their favor. But they had a lot of those big runs there, Mike, 50-yard runs,
Yeah, kind of a classic Sandusky run game where, they grind it out, and then every once in a while they'll break off those big runs. And that's what happens in the wing tee. Yeah. If you're not on it every single play, they can break one off like that. And we saw that in the second half.
Saw some size on both sides of the teams also.
Reese was big. When I was walking up to the field, I was impressed. Their offensive line was lining up, doing warm-ups and stuff. And they're a big team.
Yeah, Scotty, Luke Folco, man. Either it's muscle or he's got some Reese Rocket Bowling Lane barbecue in him or something, or pizza.
Well, his brother was big too. He played basketball a couple years ago, Levi Folco, and so they're just big kids. And Mike and I were talking on the sideline, and I was like, man, they are substantially bigger as far as like tall wise than Sandusky and some of those boys out there on the line. They're bigger, and it doesn't always go to the bigger line. It doesn't. I mean, Sandusky was able to figure it out, and they looked intimidating. That's for sure. Sandusky didn't back down. But Reese, they bring the size. That's for sure.
Yeah, Folco, I think utilizes the fullback in the option there. Kind of that lead block, but here's your secret weapon there for some fullback carries. But when they did the option, I got to give credit to Brady Benz. You got to be a tough quarterback in that option because, Jonathan, you leave yourself open, wide open on the option. Either you're going to throw it off or you're going to hang on to it. You're going to be smushed by two linebackers and then a defensive lineman at the same time before you get rid of that ball. Or even if you get rid of that ball, you're still getting smashed.
Yeah, if you're running the option as a quarterback, one, you can't be afraid to get hit, and two, you can't be afraid to say, I'm going to take the ball and make a play this time, or also be unselfish and be like, hey, it's your time to shine. The options, you got to have a lot of trust in each other with your running back too. You got to have that trust because you're going to put that ball in that gut of that running back, and you're either saying I'm giving it to you or taking it. You can be very, very dangerous running that read option. You can fool a lot of people, but it can also backfire if you fumble the ball very easily, not knowing who's getting it every play.
Scotty, that also goes to the running back who is going to get the ball, especially when it's going to be tossed out to him. Mitchell Stricker, he's got to be looking out, and he's looking at the quarterback, and he's not looking at the guy he's that potentially going to be hitting him if he picks up that option play there. So I give credit to Mitchell Stricker, who did it all, running wise and receiver wise in that game.
Yeah, absolutely. Mitchell is just a great athlete. He had a brother that also played a couple years ago as well with Folco, one of the Stricker brothers. And also worth noting is Luke Folco was actually the starting quarterback, I believe, the last two seasons for Reese. Made the switch over to fullback, the fullback position, for the most part of this season. And then they moved Benson to the quarterback position. So everybody kind of getting used to their positions. So, interested to see now that they have a game underneath them, see what they can do. And they have a quite the test on the road against Bad Axe.
They can definitely improve. I mean, this offense, if the way it was run against Sandusky, Mike, if they improve on this, it's going to be pretty potent.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
They got the size, they got the right players mm-hmm. out there for that.
Yeah, and, you know, it did seem like Sandusky wore them down in the second half, and that was something that Coach Jacobson talked about.
Well, the turnovers hurt, too.
Yes, the turnovers.
Yeah, two interceptions. Yeah.
Yep, and
a fumble.
Yep, the fumble was big. The Sandusky defense, you know, made big plays when they needed to. Right before the half, you know, Sandusky was driving, and, you know, they had the big pass reception, and then they throw an interception, and Reese is driving, and Tyler Bush comes up with the interception on defense. That was a huge point in the game, because if Reese punches it in there, they're up two scores, and they get the ball to start the second half. So that was a big play. And then at the very end of the game, you know, Reese still had a shot to win it or at least tie it. And Jackson Palace comes up with an interception. So just a great effort from the defense. The offense, typical Sandusky offense, you know, they wore the team down. Coming into the season, Craig Jacobson was high on Carter Krause. And, you know, he delivered. You know, this was his game to, you know, kind of put his name out there. He did have some good games last season, especially towards the end of the season, but
now he's stepping in the role full time.
Yeah, this kind of puts him on the radar. But I think
I'm impressed about Jackson Reinke too.
That's just what I was gonna say. It seemed like
you got to have that 1-2 punch.
Yeah, and he was always making the big plays. Sandusky, I believe they had 5 fumbles on the game. They only lost one. There was a couple of plays where there was a fumble. He picked it up and ran it for 20 yards or. He had the fumble recovery. Yep. He had a big defensive stop on third down. He had the 2-point conversion catch, the diving catch.
Because that was the reward for his 50-yard run, I think. Something like that.
Yeah. So, Coach Jacobson, you know, he mentioned, you know, we saw glimpses of his potential on Friday night. And, you know, with his speed and his athleticism, if you're going to give Krause the ball a bunch of times and run him up the middle, if you can be able to get Jackson Reinke in some space, that's going to be a very, very dangerous backfield.
Tyler Franzel had a big job to block for both those guys, but he still got his touches. And when he got his touches, positive yards.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody pretty much had positive yards or no gain, but it was kind of rare. It was pretty rare in this game. So
going into the season, when we talked about Sandusky, you know, we talked about how they have a favorable schedule and they have a lot returning. There's a lot of seniors along the offensive line.
Decent size.
The backs looked good. The defense after the first half looked really good. The defense looked good at times in the first half, but I think Sandusky is primed for a pretty big season. Again, it's hard to punch your way into the upper echelon of the East with Harbor Beach and Ubley waiting there. But I think Sandusky is going to be a very good team this year.
Tough win, but they get it. 36-28 against the Reese Rockets. Very impressed by Reese. Reese did have almost 197 yards rushing, near 200 there. And, you know, balanced offense with the passing about 92 yards, but 390-something yards, I do believe, for Sandusky. Something up in that. So, yeah. Scotty, your wrap-up on this.
Yeah, nice win by Sandusky. You know, it was going to be two teams that have been having some pretty rough seasons the past couple of seasons, back-to-back 3-1 seasons for Sandusky. You know, it's been rough for Reese the past couple, well, I think 2 seasons ago they actually won the Greater Thumb West in a battle, but or the tide or something of that nature. But last year, you know, they had a struggle. So it was nice to see them compete this season. You know, last year Sandusky walked all over Reese. So it was good to see them battle. It was good to see, you know, the parts working, the run game working, throwing the ball. So it was nice to see Reese back into it. Obviously, we know, you know, 20 years ago, Reese was a dominant squad in the Thumb and football. And it's nice to see them, you know, play games and be competitive in them. So that's the one thing I'm most excited about.
All right, so Sandusky will have Vassar. What can you tell me what Vassar has? They did lose to Algonac. Algonac coming back to 11-player football as the Vassar Vulcans will take on the Sandusky Wolves. Scotty, what can you tell me about Vassar?
Yeah, I wish I had a ton of knowledge on Vassar. I don't, unfortunately. My coworker actually did the preview on them. But I do know that they return a lot. They got their coach back. I don't know what to think about Algonac because they didn't have a team last year, but they looked like they were big. They looked like they were fast. they look like a good BWAC squad. So I don't know really how to gauge them. But I do know that Vassar does have talent. I do know that Vassar has some fast backs. And like I said, they return a lot this season. So the hope was high in Vassar under, you know, second-year coach Jim Carlisle. But, you know, I don't know. Sandusky got punched in the mouth, and they were able to battle back against Reese. I think you might have a good battle between Sandusky and Vassar. I think it might be a slugfest once again. And, you know, I really think that it's going to be another East-West good old-fashioned battle.
Well, Vassar only had minus 6 yards, rushing-wise, against Algonac. Yeah. But they were 20 of 42 passing with 190 yards, two touchdowns,
throwing the ball,
and right. one interception. So, obviously, if there's a team you want to go in the air against, Sandusky's a team to do it against.
Reese did move the ball through the air pretty well in the second half, at least. So, you know, that could be.
That's the thing about the Greater Thumb Conference is you have all these, what we say, really good defenses because they can stop the run.
Mm-hmm.
Not very many of them can stop the pass. No. If you can throw the ball in the Greater Thumb Conference, you're going to have some success.
All right, so the Reese Rockets will have the Bad Axe Hatchets this week. When we come back, we'll talk about the Bad Axe Hatchets. They lost to Cass City, and we'll have that when we come back here on Sportsline. Welcome back to Thumb Sportsline Radio, high school sports show, and we will be going into the 7 o'clock hour. Still a lot of football to talk about, a lot of cross-conference games, so not particularly staying in league per se. You know, that was Scott Bowlesby who we talked to from the Tuscola County Advertiser. So are we expecting anybody else or not?
Yeah, we're expecting Paul, if he ever reads my messages.
Oh, okay. So we don't know for sure, right?
He said he would call in.
Okay. We're about 4 minutes away from news, so I'm wondering if we could take care of it. So, let me see. Do I have that stuff? I think Clark sent that to us. Well, do you want to talk about Ubley real quick or not?
We can talk. Let's talk about Harbor Beach.
All right, go ahead.
Harbor Beach, Cardinal Mooney. Harbor Beach traveling down to Marine City, taking care of business against a...
You covered that game.
Yeah, formidable opponent, Marine City, 22-13. And that was a game where Marine City started off the game right off the bat. They took off 8 minutes off the clock, marched down the field, scored a touchdown, put up the PAT, and were up 7-0 with about 3 minutes to go in the first quarter. Harbor Beach responded with a drive of their own to take the lead, then 8-6 after they completed a two-point conversion. And you can think Caden Buchholz ripping off, I believe it was a 19-yard touchdown run where he broke quite a few tackles. And that kid's just a sophomore, and he's the real deal. And I want to tell you why, because the end of the first half, with 1 second on the clock, he found Benson Harper on a 34-yard touchdown pass. And guess what? They opened the third quarter the same way. 34-yard touchdown pass in the exact same play. He found Benson Harper. Both just sophomores. They're going to be a great duo for the Harbor Beach Pirates coming up.
How young is this Harbor Beach team?
This is a very young Harbor Beach team. A couple seniors, a couple juniors, but their main
just enough to kind of lead them a little bit.
Their main athletes are sophomores. They got this big tight end. I don't know who he is or where he came from. Skyler Cruz. He's got to be about 6'4", 200 pounds. He played excellent at the cornerback position, I thought, against Cardinal Mooney. He's a kid to watch out for. But really, for Harbor Beach for the next few years, it's going to be the Benson Harbor and Caden Buchholz show. And they showed that off the other night. But the senior running back that runs extremely hard, he might be the toughest guy to bring down in the area, Shea Woodkey. He's really the leader of that team, and you can see it. He set the tone with the when they were in the wing tee, the smash mouth running. He's the guy that got a bulk of the carries. Then when they went spread, it was Caden Buchholz, Benson Harper, get your athletes in space.
Okay.
It works, right? Yeah. I mean, Coach Shelkey, he's a Hall of Fame coach for a reason. Yeah. He knows how to get the best of them. He's got a state title under his belt. He knows what to do with his kids. He knew when to go to wing T against Mooney. He knew
still
when to,
doing that.
Yep. Yeah. He knew when to go to spread and let Buchholz and Harper show off their athleticism, and it worked out for him. And he traveled down there and took care of business against Cardinal Mooney. And he's got a tall task next week, though.
Yeah, as you said, total yards for Harbor Beach was they were the away team too,
yes,
weren't they? Yeah, 139. That's it, right?
No, they had more than that.
That's what you have on here. So, yeah, 139 yards rushing. For Harbor Beach, rushing-wise,
yep.
Yeah.
And they had another 83 through the air.
Okay, so.
Yeah, so 222 yards. Yeah, yep. It wasn't very much of a...
Was it short? Were they playing a lot of short field? Or
no, they... Both teams punted a couple times, yeah. And it was a very quick game. There wasn't many possessions. Okay. A couple short fields. There was a lot of penalties in this game, so ball got moved that way for penalty-wise. I believe Harbor Beach had a couple. Mooney had quite a few, so it wasn't a clean game. Week one, you kind of expect that out of some teams, but Harbor Beach is going to have to clean that up if they're going to want to take care of Cass City next week.
And that's what we'll talk about when we come back from our break, 7 o'clock break. We'll be back in the 7 o'clock hour. The show will go up to 8 o'clock. For Thumb's Sports Line here, folks. And we'll be right back. Jonathan Bisher from Thumb Tugger to Sports. Clark Ramsey set the results of this Cass City Bad Axe game with the stats. And that's who Harbor Beach will take on in week two. Bad Axe will face Reese in week two also. So, seeing all it intertwine here. And Bad Axe, by the way, is in the Greater Thumb East. Now, they flipped with Cass City. So, all right. We'll be right back here on Thumb Sports Line Radio Sports Show. We'll be right back. After our 7 o'clock news, we will interrupt the Jesse Kelly Show. All right, welcome back to Sports Line, Thumb Sports Line Radio High School Sports Show. Eddie Fury of you. We have another sports writer on the line with us. It's Paul Adams from the Huron County View. Paul, how you doing, man?
Doing good. Great. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Peachy.
How, you know, peaches are, we just picked our peaches, by the way. So, Mrs. Fury,
though. You didn't bring them in for us?
She just picked them last night.
Oh, okay.
She had to mow the lawn. She had to go pick those, pick the tomatoes, pick the peppers.
So Eddie could sit there and watch Grace.
Yeah, so what does Eddie do? Yeah.
I was watching Star Trek the last 55 years in Prime. Come
nice.
On, man.
So, nice.
What?
20 seconds in and this thing's off the rails.
I didn't get my peach cobbler. All right. Who got their cobbler? The Cass City Redhawks did. Picking away the Bad Axe Hatchets with the win. Good way to start the season. Now, they're not Greater Thumb West opponents. They're now, you know, Bad Axe is in the Greater Thumb East. Greater Thumb West is Cass City. Now, 38-8 was your final score. Great win there for the Cass City Redhawks here, Paul.
Well, it looks like it. But as you dig in deeper... That 38-8 score is a little deceiving. Cassidy added some late touchdowns to kind of pad that score. Really, this was probably a 2-3 score game. Really, a 2-score game for a long time. Bad Axe kind of got worn down. But you know what stood out to me in this game is the rushing numbers were within 20 yards of each other. Like Bad Axe held their own on the ground, and really, I thought held its own defensively too, and forced Cassidy to do some things that Cass City didn't want to do, which is mainly throw. And Cass City, you know, completed some long passes, one that ended the half. You know, it was a 45-yard bomb that made it 18-8. Up until that point, it was a 12-8 game. It looked like we were going to go into halftime 12-8. So, you know, I thought there was a lot of positives for Bad Axe. As far as Cass City goes, I walked away from that game not feeling fulfilled because, you know, there's been a lot of hype around the Redhawks this year. They're returning pretty much everybody. Expectations are through the roof. And Cass City just didn't strike me as a team that looked like they were ready to be one of the best teams in the Thumb. Now, you know, everybody had to deal with the rain and all the weather that came through, and maybe that threw Cass City off, but I just left kind of feeling a little bit empty and questioning Cass City a little bit.
Yeah, Jonathan, 220 yards rushing for Bad Axe. Cass City also 221 yards, but yet just 8 points for Bad Axe on the board.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, Bad Axe moved the ball. That proves that Bad Axe can move the ball. They have to finish and sustain some drives. Bad Axe did get in the red zone, stalled out, turned the ball over, but pretty steadily, and for most of the game, Bad Axe was able to move the ball on that really good, what we think is a really good Cass City defense. And one thing that stood out to me about Bad Axe, they went back to kind of a modified single wing spread style. They really had Cass City on their heels. And I think, this is just my thoughts, had there not been a 90-minute weather delay, Bad Axe would have at least scored one more time in the second quarter. I think that weather delay allowed Cass City to regroup and make some adjustments to what Bad Axe was doing. But Bad Axe really was quite impressive considering the circumstances, a new coach, and a lot of new players and new faces. And they put up a good amount of rushing yards on a pretty good defense.
Also 63 yards, but Cass City Redhawks, 135 yards passing there, Jonathan.
On two really big plays, majority of the yards came off two touchdowns of Tyler Cumper. So if you're Cass City and you got to resort to throwing the ball, though, that's not a good sign for a team that likes to run the wing tee. But they did have success throwing the ball, so maybe they can do a little bit. Last year we seen it against Ubley. They went spread. They had some success, but their bread and butter is running the ball. So if they're not going to be able to run the ball, if they got to go to the passing game, because that's how they scored their two touchdowns in the second quarter. We're off the big plays in the through the air. If they're going to rely on big plays, teams are going to figure that out, and they're going to be able to stop it later down the road. So they're going to have to figure out that running game this week, and that's going to be tough against Harbor Beach because Ron Rubel's been there for years, and he will figure out how to take away your best option.
What I was impressed is that Landon Schott was actually paying attention to the game and not the weather. Because you know he's really big in thumb weather. He had 137 yards and 15 carries. This is his senior season also, but you know, we saw a lot of bright spots for him last year. I think he's going to be the focus of the running offense here for a shot also for the Cass City Redhawks. How do he look to you?
Yeah, he looked good. I mean, he's a big guy. His first touchdown was set up by a massive kickoff return. Cass City started at their own at the Bad Axe 6-yard line, and about two plays later, there was a pretty good sequence. You can see my pictures on quad end where he just trucked a Bad Axe defender. So he's a big, strong kid. He gets going. He's pretty hard to stop. You know, just looking for some more options. Like JB said, if you're Cass City and you're already going to the air against Bad Axe in the second quarter, things are not going well for you. That's not their game plan. They can do that, but they don't want to do that. They want to impose their will. You know, Cass City wants to impose their will on you on the ground and pound. And really, they weren't able to do that. I don't feel like they ever asserted their will on Bad Axe. And I think that, you know, it's week one, but I think to me, I'm trying to gain a lot of positives from Bad Axe. Even though the final score says 38-8, it didn't feel like that to me. And this week for Cass City, huge test against Harbor Beach. And I think Bad Axe has a great chance at a bounce back against Reese. So, you know, a lot of question marks coming out of week one. You know, I'm out at the golf course, you know, quite often, and everybody always stops me, asks me what I think. I'm like, my standard response is, ask me in week five. I don't really know right now, and you know, I don't know what to make of this game. It was just kind of a weird night all around.
Well, it's tough because Bad Axe had the element of surprise. You mentioned new coach, new players. No one really knew what they were going to do, and like you said, it caught Cass City off guard. For the first couple of weeks until you get 3, 4, 5 games of film on them, they might catch some of these teams off guard, and they could maybe get on a hot run here for the first couple of weeks before they get into the tough part of their schedule and teams got some film on them. They know what Coach Gibbard's going to do, and they know what players really to key on. But you look at their stats, Paul, they had two guys in Nathan Pulaski and Alex Andrews that ran the ball very effectively. So it's not just a one-man show for Bad Axe either.
No, those are tough guys. Andrich is a wrestler, you know, and he's got that wrestler mentality. You look at him, he's, you know, he's kind of deceiving, kind of a, you know, skinny redheaded kid, but he's tough as nails. And he had some great runs. He's running the show as the quarterback. I thought he threw the ball fairly well. You know, his receivers didn't do him some favors out there, but, you know, you mentioned Coach Gibbert, and that's one thing that stands out as I talked to him after the game. He said, hey, I made some rookie coaching mistakes. You know, it's his first time being an offensive coordinator, and he's going to learn too. So I do think there's a lot of bright spots for Bad Axe. They were fun to watch, that's for sure. And I think Jonathan, you guys are doing the Reese Bad Axe game?
Yep, it'll be on Channel 2 with Phil and John, so I won't be there personally. But I think that's got a chance to be a good game because Reese caught Sandusky by surprise.
Very good game.
And Bad Axe caught Reese by surprise, so we could be in a battle of duking it out. Two teams looking for their first win.
All right, we will move on now. So again, It will be Reese, Bad Axe, Cassidy, Harbor Beach, and Thumb Choker Sports will be covering those games,
yep.
Right? Okay. Let's switch gears. Ubbly Bearcats now. 50-13 win over Clarkson Everest. That was a huge win, 50-13. Jonathan, let's start off with you on this.
Well, what can we say? It was an ugly performance. They picked up right where they left off last year, you know, being the state runner-up in Division Eight, and Coach Sweeney went to worked right away, the middle trap. Seems like they lost a lot. We all thought they lost their big play ability. Paul will agree with me. When you lost Mark Heilig, you thought they lost their straight line burn that was just pulling away from everybody. But it looks like they found a big old bruiser that can do that in the middle of their T formation. And Cannon Peruski, I think he ripped off four runs for four touchdowns over 30 yards. And that's what you classify as a big play. So nothing new from Ubbly. Run the wing T, ran the ball. I think they had 370 yards rushing, threw the ball twice. One of them was dropped. That would have been a touchdown. And the other one was an amazing catch by the tight end. And they looked like Ubbly of old. If you were there at the game, Clarkson shouldn't have scored their two touchdowns. Ubbly's second string came in. They fumbled on back-to-back possessions in their own territory. So Clarkson had a short field, punched two of them in with their starters against Ubbly's second string defense. So really nothing new with Ubbly. They got a little bit tougher test, I would say, maybe with Lakers, a team that's familiar with them, that might be able to stop the middle trap. But we didn't hardly see Seth Maurer. With Luke Vollmering, a new running back in the backfield, he didn't get going. So there's still weapons to be there. Evan Peruski had a very quiet day, according to his standards, you could say, too. So Ubbly still got, you know, their horses. And just it was an excellent for put together a game Friday night or Friday afternoon. It was a great performance by the Bearcats.
Yeah, clean up your fumbles. Other than that, yeah, you know.
Well, that was second string, so that was their time to clean up their stuff.
Okay. Paul, did you get a chance to see this game?
Yeah, I was at this game, and, you know, I agree with JB. You know, probably just did what they were supposed to do. They didn't show a whole lot, you know, running that middle trap. That's what Ubbly's going to do against non-conference opponents that really don't get a chance to see them. I mean, you think through the years, some of the fullbacks that have had some outstanding games. Now, remember Carson Hileski lighting up Saginaw Nouvelle, and the list goes on. These non-conference teams, when they don't see the wing T, the fullback trap, the fullback usually is going to be the one that is the beneficiary of some big plays and a lot of yards. And that was, Cannon Peruski, it was his turn to shine. And if I'm Coach Sweeney, I love this game for a variety of reasons. Number one, you put 50 points up. It's a great win. But number two, you got so many things to work on. Like, this was far from a perfect game. You know, Ubbly's got plenty of things to work on. Seth Maurer got banged up a little bit. You've got to get Luke Vollmering more involved in the offense. You can't just rely on Cannon Peruski. You want to kind of leave Evan Peruski as that weapon, you know, break glass in case of emergency. And he's there if you need him, but you don't want to over-rely on him. So as Ubbly goes back to work and prepares for Lakers, I'm sure Coach Sweeney and his staff are just hammering these guys. Like, you made so many mistakes, and Lakers is going to exploit that if you do that against Lakers. But, you know, it was a good opening win. What I was looking for was the defense. You know, that's, to me, that was going to be the biggest question this year. No secret that Coach Jim Becker, retired, longtime defensive coordinator. Anthony Sweeney taking over that role. Matt Mychak helping out. Austin Drake helping out in those roles to come up with that defensive plan. The 13 points were scored on short field against the second string. But that first string, it was kind of bend, don't break. They did allow maybe a little bit too many yards, but when it got into the red zone, there was, two interceptions in the red zone, yeah. And Colin Ozentoski made a dandy interception at midfield. So they got the job done. I was very impressed. There was a lot of question marks, and I think Ubbly answered a lot. And I think scratching the surface of how good this team could truly be.
Yeah, you mentioned Colin Ozentoski, junior. You know, now officially on varsity, played some last year, sophomore in second half. What a debut for him as a full-time varsity player. Two interceptions on defense, had two rushing touchdowns, in the second half for Ubley, one at running back, and then he came in as a backup quarterback. So that could be maybe a secret weapon for the Bearcats. If Maurer remains banged up, you put him in there in the backfield. Maybe they decide the Luke Vollmering experiment's not going to work in the backfield. You put him there, but he also showed that he can play some backup quarterback, and he can get to that edge just like Evan Peruski. So that's a nice little fourth option, you could say, for the Bearcats there as just a junior.
All right, the Ubley Bearcats. You know, well, go ahead, Paul.
I was going to say, one thing I really did notice, and, you know, this was kind of the talk around the golf course when I was out there, is Ubley is thin as far as players go. You look on that sideline, there's not much there, you know. So, you know, Seth Maurer got banged up early in that game. He was really a non-factor offensively. And then when the game was in hand, they kind of took him out defensively. But he's a big part of that team. So their margin for error is razor thin with injuries. So it'll be interesting as the season unfolds to see how Coach Sweeney and his staff handle this thin roster. I would expect to see, you know, guys like Seth Maurer, Candon Peruski, Evan Peruski, getting rest and not getting reps in the second half, if at all possible, just to save them for down the road.
They don't have a JV team that they can pull up from either. They only got about 13 kids on the JV team, so it's short numbers in Ubley.
All right, Ubley, we'll have Lakers coming up. We'll talk about the Lakers with Scotty B when he calls back in. Paul, thank you for calling in. Pigskin Picks for week two is already up, right?
Pigskin Picks for week two is already up. We had 90 people participating, which is a great number. That's up from last year. We had two perfect people this week. 15, they got 15 correct. There was a bunch of 14s. I think, Eddie, you were in the 14s.
I should have been in the 14s.
Wow.
I think, JB, you were in the 14s. I was in the 14s.
Curious of who I got wrong.
Mike was in the 13. Mike was 13, so yep. He did well.
Homer. I went 13 and 2, so if you want to take one of those people that went 15 and 0 and just plug them in for me, that'd be great. It's stressful doing these picks, man.
All right.
Yeah, you still got it. You still got to get your picks to me, Mike.
Yeah, I'm trying to decide what I want to do with that CPS game.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Paul Adams from the Huron County View. Thank you, Paul.
Thanks, guys.
And we'll be right back with more Greater Thumb Conference talk. We still have 8-player football here on Thumb Sports Line Radio, high school sports show. Welcome back to Thumb Sports Line Radio High School Sports Show. Week one recaps of high school football. Still talking about Greater Thumb Conference. Memphis Yellow Jackets, big win, 41-0 over Genesee. Genesee, going back to 11-player football. They were in how many years in 8-player?
Well, that's a good question.
I would say probably at least 5 or 6.
Yeah. And they had not a whole lot of success. The couple seasons where they had Alton Davis at quarterback, he was electric. Those games were a lot of fun. A lot of points scored. Yeah. That was actually the game where Deckerville set all those records because they were trying to outrun Alton Davis. But I believe Genesee is over the limit now for 8-player, which is why they made the jump.
Because you get that 1 year courtesy, and I think they burned right through it.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's good. You know, enrollment's up. But yeah. Unfortunately, that's going to make for some tough games. Yeah, for football.
They are in the GAC conference. Ooh. Genesee area, right?
Yeah, that's going to be a brutal conference for them, especially when you open up the season with Memphis, and Memphis takes care of business.
Yeah.
So Memphis gets their win. They were 0-9 last year. Mm-hmm. So they get a win on the season.
Yeah, new coaching staff at Memphis, too. So that's a nice way to start off the tenure.
That's
there
a
for
school
them.
That always has a decent amount of athletes, yeah. And it seems like every sport they could just struggle to piece it together.
Yeah, we've kind of seen it in the past with other schools, but when you have that boys soccer program, that kind of takes away from it. And boys soccer at Memphis has been pretty good. But you know, we've seen Memphis has a good
baseball program,
good wrestling program. So there's, you know.
There's
a chance.
They compete with a lot of those bigger schools, though, for athletes. Richmond's not that far away. Yale's not that far away. Port Huron's not that far away. Mm-hmm. So they compete with some of those bigger schools for athletes. But, man, there's still some there. And it's good to see a Memphis maybe make some noise. I think they finally got their first win in the Greater Thumb Conference just a couple years ago against KPEC.
Well, Memphis Yellow Jackets has the potential to make some noise against the Carroll Tigers. Carroll Tigers, however, losing last week to the Marlette Red Raiders. 22-2 was their final score there. Rob McDaniel's first year as head coach at the Carroll Tigers. Marlette. Danny Lester has been there about 50,000 years, I think, now. So
you calling him old?
No, I'm older. So, but he's been at, you know, he's probably what, the third, fourth longest tenured coach, maybe.
Oh, Troy Schalke, Bill Brown.
Oh, okay, I thought you meant at Marlette. No,
Brown and Dave Danny Lester would probably be the three longest tenured coach.
So he's been at Marlette longer than Craig Jacobson at Sandusky too, or
I think so.
Yeah.
Jacobson's only been at Sandusky for about 10, 12 years.
Right. I don't know that he's been coaching longer than Craig, but he's at least been the head coach at Marlette longer.
All right. So Marlette getting the win, and Denny Lester always sends you a great write-up the night of, along with some stats out there.
We appreciate now that.
Yeah, I don't know what they're using, but now that Digital Scout is out of business or something.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
They're doing something, but he still got it to us. So hats off to him, man.
Yeah. Yep. And the nice thing... Denny, he'll always tell it like it is, you know, because he provides comments to the media, regardless of if we were at the game or not, which we greatly appreciate. You know, he said it, you know, they got the win, but they're not exactly too happy with the way things went offensively. I'm going to cut him a little more slack than Denny will because that was just a weird situation.
It's a weird night.
That was the Thursday night when we got the storms, and you know, pretty much everybody else just rescheduled or canceled. They waited to pick that game back up. They started again at about 9:45.
They started late.
Yeah, and got so out then of there you're late. You know, you're playing in the mud and the rain, and you know, I don't think Denny would approve of those excuses. But the thing that you know really stood out to me. The offense is going to be fine. We knew that the offense was going to be good coming into the season. Scoring 22 points against Carroll in the opener, I'm not worried about that. But defensively, that was our big question going into the season. You know, what is Marlette going to be able to do defensively? And they were fantastic against Carroll. The 2 points that were scored by Carroll, obviously a safety. And
in the first quarter, it was 7-2.
Yeah. Marlette gave up 62 total yards. So, you know, that's pretty impressive.
Defensively, yeah. You know, which they're not known for sometimes.
Well, they want to be. And, you know, they're taking the steps towards doing so.
Now they're going to have a tall task next week this week with USA. You know, USA's had a couple down years, but that's another physical football team that runs the wing tee. And what does Marlette struggle to stop?
The wing tee,
The wing tee. So USA couldn't make some noise there. If you're Coach Lester, this is the time to put your defense on the map saying, hey, we figured out how to shut down the wing tee. Here we go, USA. Good luck.
Mm-hmm.
You stop Coach McDaniel in his first year at Carroll. Mm-hmm. Maybe Coach McDaniel had a tough time adjusting back to 11 player after all his great success at 8
and
player.
They had to play in the crummy weather just like Marlette did. So
So it'll be interesting to see you next week. They got the lone Friday night game, Marlette USA. So that should be a dandy of a game, I could say. You know, USA is a team that hung in there with MLS.
It was a 37-14 loss for Unionville Sibuing, but not bad.
They hung in there for a half against a very talented Michigan Lutheran Seminary team.
This is a USA team that struggled the last couple of years, two wins, you know, in 2022 and 2021. So
with a couple forfeits, do some down numbers.
Yeah. So you know, what are the numbers like? What have you heard through the grapevine?
They're still a little low this year, but they're expecting them to come up. They said the junior high group they got now has got massive numbers, so USA is expected to be back on the rise number-wise. We'll see if the Coach Han, one of the nicer, more friendly coaches out there, love talking to him, could maybe get his program back on track to where they were in the early 2000s when they were the team of the thumb.
So Marlette really spreading the ball out rushing-wise. 212 rushing yards. Wesley Chapin, 39 yards. Logan Malloy, 52 yards. Quentin Sartin with 75 yards. And Tyler Isidoric, 7 carries for 79 yards. 2 touchdowns scored by Sartin and Isidoric.
Sartin.
Sartin.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I like the balance of offense out there. Yeah, I mean, they're using the spread.
That's something we talked about before the season, you know, when we were talking about potential player of the year and, you know, how Marlette wouldn't necessarily have somebody in the running because they're so spread out offensively. Nobody's going to put up these huge numbers. But that makes them that much tougher to stop.
And a balanced offense with that spread, they had 84 yards passing and, you know, still, defensively off balanced.
Kind of an interesting stat from the game. Quentin Sarton, 75 rushing yards, 54 passing yards, and he had a 30-yard reception. So
halfback pass,
right? So I mean, he's all over the place. You know, Trey Lester subbed in at quarterback. Looks for at least a couple attempts. You know, Wesley Chapin, he's a big playmaker for them, but. The fact, when you look at Tyler Isadoric's stat line, 79 yards on 7 carries, that's kind of what you're looking from Marlette. Logan Malloy is going to be that, you know, kind of the grinder a little bit, and then you can get it to Isadoric for the big plays. While Coach Lester, most coaches, they always say, we got stuff to work on, you know, and Marlette does have some stuff to work on, but I'm extremely encouraged by what we saw them do against Carroll.
All right, so Marlette against Unionville Seaboyne coming up in week 2. That would be a Friday game.
Yep.
Labor Day weekend. Great scheduling. just saying.
I got to work Saturday, so I'm going to be home in the area anyway, so might as well go cover it.
Okay. I'm just saying, you know.
there may be somebody to blame for that, but I'll save that for
off air. I'm sure parents are just going to leave the kid home. See, yeah, we're leaving Thursday.
Yeah.
All right, so Marlette against Unionville Seaboyne. Jonathan's going to be doing that game on Thumbtuggeter Sports also, so good deal on that one. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, more Gert Thumb Conference. We'll have our weather forecast also. And Lakers-Millington, that's the final.
Lakers-Millington, I feel like we had one more.
USA MLS, but we touched on it there
for a second.
Yeah, don't have much with that.
Do we want Scotty back for that or not?
I'd like, because that Millington, that's his thing. So.
You message him, I'll set up the weather forecast right now. Beautiful day today. I actually stepped out for about 2 seconds and enjoyed it, and now I'm back here in the studio. What?
I'm taking off.
Oh, you are taking off. Okay. Jonathan Mitchell from Thumbtuggeter Sports, and again, your coverage will be?
Wednesday night, KPEC at Deckerville. Thursday night, we got Reese at Bad Axe and Cassidy at Harbor Beach. And then Friday night, rounding it out with USA at Marlette.
Those are some good games, sir.
They should be. They're all lined up to be good games.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Jonathan, for driving your way up here.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Yes, we'll be right back. We'll have Scotty B come back here on Thumb Sportsline Radio. We'll be right back. Check in with the weather forecast. And welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to Thumb Sportsline Radio. And back with us is the Tuscola County Advertiser sports writer. And are you still doing play-by-play, aren't you, 92.1 FM?
I'm still doing it.
Wow. After saying, nope, they keep pulling you back in every time I try to get out.
I'm done.
I know the feeling, man. Know the feeling. All right, Scotty B is back with us from the Tuscola County Advertiser. You covered the Lakers against Millington. Everybody thought this was going to be a great game. And then 3 points by Lakers. Millington out on top there. Big win for Millington to take them out. The final score was 32-3. Scotty.
Yep.
Tell me about the game, man.
Yeah, so... You know, the score, it was lopsided, 32-3. Laker comes out, they drive the ball. Well, they actually stop Millington. Millington goes a three and out, start the game, kick the ball away. Laker drives it, look like they're going to set up to punch it in first. And then they settle for a field goal, which shout out to Jay Sears, a heck of a field goal by him. I believe it was around, 30 yards, 32 yards, something like that. And then Millington goes on to score 32 unanswered. It was 6-3 at the end of the first. Then they go on a roll, 14 points in the second, and then 6 apiece in the third and the fourth. And, you know, the score was lopsided, but I got to give props to Laker because if you look at the stats, they're pretty, I don't want to say they're even because they weren't, but they were fairly close. The Millington defense clamped down when they needed to clamp down. Laker came up with a couple big plays. They would get into Millington territory deep. They'd maybe a penalty or, you know, just, they'd go three and out or four and out. And it was just these little things that were stopping them. But it seemed like Laker was one playmaker or one big play away from making a much more interesting game. Jay Sears, a heck of a player. I believe the kid's name was Neaton. I think is how you pronounce it. He was a heck of a running back as well. They're a good squad. They're going to battle. It's just Laker football. And, you know, it kind of gave us a nice little glimpse of what Millington and some of these rivalries are going to be going into the Big Thumb Conference. And if this is the way it is, I'm excited about it because I think these teams are going to be feeling each other out. They're going to get used to each other. And then we'll have some good battles. But, it was a good game. Ian Crump, he just had an absolutely fantastic game. Millington's quarterback, 5 of 12 passing for 150 yards, two scores. He also ran it 49 times on 9 carries with 3 touchdowns. He also had 3 tackles and an interception that he drove or ran back deep into Laker territory before he was chased down by Jay Sears. And then Truck Turbush caught 2 balls for 82 yards and a score. Bryce Martin, 1 catch for 46 yards, and Johnny Crump also caught a touchdown pass for 23 yards. Bryce Martin caught a touchdown as well. So a lot through the air, and, you know, your typical Millington throwing in a couple trick plays. They had the flea flicker touchdown pass that you normally see pulled out for Millington, a little end around. They pulled out all the tricks and got us ready for that Big Thumb Conference.
Millington will have Flint Beecher coming up. And then Hemlock, Carlton, Stanis, Sterling, St. Louis, Bullet Creek, Flint, and Bertrand. Is there a stumble other than I see Hemlock? And, well, is there any stumble for them in this TVCB conference?
Yeah. Obviously, it's going to be another tough game. I'm trying to bring up their schedule right now. Beecher, they should get the win. Hemlock, that'll be a tough battle for them. Carlton, Stanis, Sterling's going to be tough. And then they turn around, and I guess Bullet Creek is tough this year. I haven't really looked into them much, but Bullet Creek, and if I had to pick two games that could stumble them or could slow them up, it would be the Standish Sterling and Bullet Creek games. Apparently those are supposed to be two tough squads this year. Standish, I think they were a better team last year, but I think it's still going to be a good battle for them in the Tri-Valley, but if they can get over those two hurdles, I mean, they are a talented squad. They got a lot of players back, got a lot of working parts. If they get everything figured out, including the run game with Dallas Walsh back there, I think that they could be a very dangerous squad. But, yeah, I think Hemlock and Standish Sterling and Bullet Creek, if I had to pick two games right now to keep a close eye on for Millington, would be those two. But, again, can't sleep on anybody really in the Tri-Valley.
Yeah, and this is like their swan song, isn't it, in the Tri-Valley, so...
This is it. I mean, they were one of the original members, and they're going to be departing for the Big Thumb Conference, which, again, coming up in a year. And, it's crazy to think that Millington Laker is going to be a conference game here in a year.
All right. Now, Lakers will take on Ubley. It's going to be a tough matchup. We know what Ubley has, run. Did you see anything from the Lakers that can stop this and slow down the Ubley Bearcat rushing offense?
Well, from what I know about Ubley is they like to run the ball, as you just said, and they like to run it hard. I got asked about it from somebody from Millington. You think Ubley or Laker can hang with Ubley? And no disrespect to Ubley or Laker, but I don't see it happening this year. If it is, good for Laker. It's a nice bounce back for them. But I feel like too much power, too many weapons as far as Ubley goes in the backfield. I didn't see, Laker did a good job of shutting down the run game, so to speak, for Millington. Their best rusher is Dallas Walsh, and I think he only had like 50 yards rushing. So they did a good job of shutting down the run game. But if you look at Millington, they like to run the ball, but I feel like their bread and butter is passing the ball. So I think that it was kind of a completely different look for Laker. do I think that Lakers are going to get blown out by Ubley? I don't personally, but I haven't seen what Ubley has. I don't know how good Clarkson Evers is. I think for a week two matchup, it'll be interesting to see.
All right, Scotty, you can stick with us. We're going to talk eight-player football. Come back.
Hey, my favorite.
Okay. All right, we'll be right back.
A man of culture.
We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to Thumb Sportsline Radio High School Sports Show. Mike Gallagher from the San Lake County News, a little quiet there, checking his messages. Actually working. He's working on his phone.
Well, you know, you guys
Hang on, let me make sure. There you go.
Changed mics, yeah. No, you guys are the experts on Ubley and Lakers and Millington and Bad Axe and Cass City. So I'll let you guys have your time. And, now that JB's out of here, I can actually talk.
Really?
No, I'm sorry. I'm just kidding.
Scotty B, Kingston Cardinals, big win for them, obviously. Owen Corliss, the senior now, 182 yards, 3 touchdowns, 439 total rushing yards. They had an astronomical 3 yards passing for Kingston Cardinals. They get the win. This is the team you're probably going to be covering a lot here. And, you know, they're going to have some challenges in this North Central Thumb League Stars division.
Yeah, it starts this weekend, or this week, I should say. Oakland Christian, I'm sure you guys will kind of touch on we'll touch on it now. Mike letting us know that it was like a close game with All Saints. So we'll find out how good All Saints is, or you know, how bad maybe Oakland Christian might be, no offense to All Saints. But, the thing is Akron Fairgrove's got some talent back this year. They're going to battle in the Stripes division. I think it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a good year for them still, I think. But Kingston right now, I think, is on another level. But I do believe, yes, they're going to have some competition. They obviously have to go up against the Brown City squad in a couple weeks at Brown City. They got their feet wet last year, and they really dove in right away with 8-player. And then, of course, you got the Deckerville game. They get it at home. It's a Saturday night. It's homecoming. All the good stuff rolled in there. And then they get an Adrian Lenaway Christian, which will be a non-conference game later this season. So they wanted to build up their schedule to play some tough squads. They wanted to switch out week one with, I believe they wanted to play a Martin, but it didn't work out. They had their contract with Akron Fairgrove already, so it didn't work out. But they were able to pick up an Adrian Lenaway Christian in week 9. So, Kingston, I think, is going to be – I don't want to say this has to be the year, but with all the returning players, man, you know, this is the year that in the recent memory, besides a couple of years ago with 2019, whatever the year that was, they went on a run. But this is going to be one of those years where you kind of feel that they're going to go on that run again.
Yeah, they have a young player. Is it Tyler James?
Tanner James,
sophomore, 97 yards, 2 touchdowns. Owen Corliss, of course, he had his 182 yards, 3 touchdowns. And you have a Rail. What's his for? Is it Jake?
Jacob Rail, yeah.
Okay, 90 yards, 7 carries, 1 touchdown in the game also.
Wait, no, that was Jake Rail, was it? And now I can't remember all.
There's a lot of siblings.
There's been a lot of Rails.
James Rail. That's who it was.
Rail, yeah.
James Rail.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Jacob was his brother.
Right. James Rail with the carry there.
I was going to say Josh.
Yeah. Yes. Anyways, 439 rushing yards. That was pretty much the bread and butter against Akron Fairgrove. You didn't have to do much with the win for Kingston on that one. 62-0. Would you want to add some?
Sorry.
Oh, go ahead, Mike. Go ahead.
Just a note on the Oakland Christian game this week.
Mm-hmm.
That's a team that we don't really know much about. Scott saw him last year. We actually both saw him at a preseason scrimmage.
Last year we saw him against Brown City, didn't we?
Yes,
in the playoff
postseason,
game.
Yes.
Yeah, Brown City beat him 66-38. So
we don't know much about them or Bay City All Saints, but last season they beat Bay City All Saints 44-6, and then this past week they beat All Saints 22-16. So I don't know if that says something about Oakland Christian or if that says something about All Saints. If it says something about All Saints, then the Stripes might be in trouble. But
yeah. What's salivating to me is we're finally going to see, I think, Kingston take on Brown City in eight-player football.
Yeah.
So we didn't get to see that last year because of two different divisions, right? Or somebody got bounced before it happened.
The Corliss was injured at the end of the season.
Okay.
And we got Deckerville Brown City instead. Right.
Okay. So then, like you said, Auburn Hills, Oakland Christian, they got the win over Bay City All Saints. They take on Kingston Cardinals. And then, don't want to look too far ahead, they got that Brown City Week 3 matchup. And I think, Scotty, you may want to cover that one.
The what?
You may want to make sure you cover that Brown City Kingston one there. So,
We actually picked up Kingston this week.
Okay. Nice. Okay.
Because Week 3, I have another game scheduled down. Yeah, it definitely was on my radar, but I have a couple other Kingston games circled.
Okay.
So I don't want to overdo it.
Deckerville Kingston.
Yeah. We might have to send the TTS crew over there, and then I know we're going to maybe check out that Brown City Deckerville game too.
Oh, I think you have to.
So we're going to see that one. So
absolutely.
Yeah. So Mayville Cardinals. Let's talk about them, Scotty. That was in your coverage area also. Mayville winning over Caseville. But Caseville scored 20 points on Mayville. 76-20, though, was the win for the Mayville Wildcats. Goldie Hahn must have been around.
Well,
every time.
Yeah, okay, so real quick, a funny tidbit. We're up in the booth at halftime, and I think it was like 40-something to 20. And I was talking to somebody up there, and they said, wow, you know, Caseville scored 20. That's a huge improvement. You know, it could be 70-something to 20 by the end of the game, but they still scored 20 points. And I was thinking in my head, I'm like, yeah, I don't think it'll get that crazy. And sure enough, we got the final, and it was, 72-20. So I just thought it was that was kind of funny. But, Jace Brown, huge game for him, his first time at quarterback, taking over for Hunter Levine from last year. They always seem to have a good athletic quarterback that can run and throw the ball over in Mayville. And that continues right now with Jace Brown, senior. He had a heck of a game for the Wildcats. But, it's exciting. I'd like to see the Wildcats do good, they've been kind of, figuring things out. And it seems like every season they try to battle as much as they can. And, I think that this is no different this season. I think it's going to be a tough task. Playing the likes of Kingston and Deckerville. But, I think Coach Mike Campbell and the Mayville Wildcats are up for any kind of competition.
Okay, we saw that Brown City took down the Pack Pirates. Sorry there, Mike. 68-6. Brown City, I kind of thought they were maybe a step back, but they pretty much put some guys who were right there helping up the team when there's some other players that went down with slight injuries. When you saw those bright spots from those players, now you're seeing it full here. Lawson Cooper, still a young player, still dynamic. Maybe a small guy out there, but he's tough. Smart kid out there. Reads the field really well out there, and it showed on the field with the scoring.
Yeah, real quick, before we get into Brown City and Peck, because I really want to talk about Brown City. Nathan Feltner in that Mayville-Caseville game, state champion in the 400-meter, 14 carries, 191 yards, 3 touchdowns, 10 tackles, and a forced fumble. So he's going to put up some crazy numbers in the stripes this year. But getting back over to Brown City Peck, I want to get your thoughts on what you saw, because I was there Thursday night for the first quarter, and then Friday when they resumed, I was actually in Sandusky for the Sandusky Tennis Invitational. So I got to see a quarter of Brown City Peck, but from what I saw, the defense for Brown City was fantastic. I mean, last year the defense was good, but they were more of an offensive-minded team, and understandably, when you have Kyle Affer and Clint Ford in the backfield, but the defense was just flying to the ball. I have a couple pictures from the game where there's, six, seven, even eight guys around the ball carrier on any given play. And going into the season, the strength of the Peck Pirates was and still is the offensive line. So to see what the Brown City defense did against Peck, it was very impressive.
Yeah, it's still going to be you know, some growing pains for the Peck Pirates. You see a lot of young players on this team. Know, you lost three of your four best offensive players. Caleb Lettner was one of them for the Peck Pirates. So.
Yeah, but they were able to move the ball through the air a little bit. They did have the passing touchdown
some young
in the
receivers
second quarter.
Out there,
so. Yeah, this was a game. It was 22-6 before it went into the weather delay. I don't think the weather delay really would have I don't think it changed much.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a great defensive performance by Brown City. And we talked about this coming into the season. You lose so much on the offensive side of the ball. You lose your entire offensive line, Justin Kleinsmith, Aaron Jones, Seth Hiles. You lose Clint Ford, Kyle Affer, Kalen Hagee, Hunter Ostrander. But the one thing you have back is quarterback Lawson Cooper, who was a freshman last year at quarterback. They didn't need him to do a whole lot. Coach Cooper, his father, would be the first to tell you, you know, his role was kind of dealing the cards, you know, kind of directing that offense, leading that offense, not necessarily in a playmaking role, but, you know, more of just directing the offense. And he did have some big games last year, but they didn't necessarily need that out of him. In the Peck game, he was 6 of 12 passing for 103 yards, 2 touchdowns. He was the leading rusher, 8 carries, 130 yards, 2 touchdowns. And he was second on the team in tackles, 4 tackles, and he had an interception on defense. So if he's the guy you're going to count on this year, I think Brown City will be just fine. He's proven that he has the playmaking ability, and the defense is there. Now the Stars is going to be tough.
Yes, it's difficult. I think it's. I don't know who to pick at this point. I really don't know who to pick.
No. Yeah. And the week one games didn't really help us with that at all, because Brown City blows out Peck, Kingston blows out Akron Fairgrove, Deckerville blows out Ashley. So we won't really know until a couple weeks into the season. But
and Dryden. Took down Carson but Port Stanley 52-12. And can you tell me any bright spots from CPS? I mean, they are, you know, how many players do they have?
I don't know what they officially played with, but they so apparently their starting quarterback was out for a portion of the game. He was able to return, but he had a pretty good night. Colton Sharp. He had 147 passing yards and a touchdown, 2 interceptions, unfortunately, but 68 rushing yards and a touchdown. So they have their playmaker, and that's going to be Colton Sharp. The first touchdown of the game, it was a 4th and 10. He throws a 25-yard touchdown pass to Tyler Bartley, who also had a pretty big game. Tyler Bartley, 135 yards receiving and a touchdown, and then defensively he had 5 tackles. Colton Sharp added 3 tackles on defense, and Alex Schuneman, 6 tackles, 41 yards rushing. So the pieces are there for CPS, and we've said this, like, they have good players.
Yeah.
They just need to get the right matchup, and, you know, now they're getting into Stripes play. As long as they can stay healthy, they should be competitive. I'm planning on being there Thursday night for the Akron Fairgrove game, because after Thursday, CPS is on the road for quite a while, so it'll be nice. It would be nice if they could pick up a win at home, kind of get some momentum going. But you know, obviously, kind of a lopsided score, but there is some bright spots there. And same thing for Peck. Peck's going to be fine.
They're it's kind of hard to pick. They're favored, but All Saints Peck is right there. You know. For the Stripes division, I would think.
And the first week for NCTL is tough, and we've seen this the past couple seasons because they do the crossover games where it's the Stars versus the Stripes, and it's tough for the Stripes because those are the smaller schools. They have less players, and you know, there was a lot of lopsided scores week one, but I think once the Stripes teams get playing against other Stripes teams, we'll know a lot more, so...
All right, the Deckerville Eagles win big over Ashley. Dylan Ball, 4 touchdowns.
4 touchdowns, yep.
We remember his name from last year.
Yeah.
A couple other players coming back from this year also. You know, Deckerville. They're right there in the mix.
Mm-hmm. The thing that kind of stood out to me for Deckerville, And again, it's hard to put a whole lot of stock into a game like this because it's against Ashley. I believe it was either last season or the season before that they forfeited that game. I believe after the first quarter at halftime. Deckerville goes up 32-0 in the first quarter. They score 22 more in the second quarter, and then they kind of just cruise in the second half. Typical Deckerville, 30 rushing attempts, 227 yards. But the stat that sticks out to me, and this could make Deckerville a very scary team, they were 13 of 15 passing for 144 yards and two touchdowns. Hunter Garza, who was the starting quarterback last year, 12 of 14, 107 yards and a touchdown. So we're going to get a chance to see Deckerville this week against KPAC on Wednesday night. If this is a team that's really going to start throwing the ball like that, that's going to be huge for them. Not only for, you know, the fact we saw Dylan Ball getting so many carries at the end of the season, to get those numbers down a little bit so he can be more effective. Not that he wasn't effective with those numbers at the end of the season, but Hunter Garza is a great quarterback, and we saw that last year. But they didn't necessarily throw the ball all that much.
Okay, so how many total yards for Deckerville in that game?
227 rushing yards, 144 passing yards.
I like that. Yeah.
But Hunter Garza had a 75-yard punt return, Chase Lamont, 60-yard kick return, and then Parker Merriman, 72-yard kick return.
Now, for the KPAC Chiefs, they win 51-0 themselves over North Huron. Mm-hmm. 130 yards rushing, 99 passing yards for the KPAC Chiefs. Now, kind of a little bit of a similar offense, probably working with a short field also at that moment there, Scotty. You have the balanced offense. Deckerville has the same balanced offense. We know last year back in, was it week one, when KPAC and Deckerville met up, ended up being a pretty competitive game. Deckerville able to pull away. But Scotty, man, this is a nifty game. This is a dangerous, I would say, a little bit of a trap game here, even though Deckerville won last year 40-28. They pulled away in the fourth. Like, Scotty, this is a game, and I know your wife will agree, being a Deckerville native and a graduate from a great school at Deckerville Eagles like me, class 89. This is a trap game, man, for both teams.
Yeah. Yeah, no. You know, KPAC, it's last year we kind of looked at it, and I remember turning it on and think, you know, being surprised by how close it was. And, you know, it Deckerville, as Mike said, they return some, you know, key pieces this year. KPAC is supposed to be having a much improved squad. They're supposed to have a very good JV squad. So, you know, I'm interested to see what their varsity squad looks like. Did they win week one? Yeah, they beat North Huron 51-0. Okay. Yep. So they, you know, they obviously are looking to make an impact in the Stars division. They're not looking to just kind of coast by and, you know, play, welcome mat to some of these bigger schools, as you know, Deckerville, Kingston's, and the Brown Cities. But, I mean, from what it looks like and what it sounds like, it could be a good matchup between these two squads. I don't know a ton about KPAC. Did we see them? Yeah, we saw – no, we didn't get to see them in Mayville, though, Mike, did we? Yeah, we did. We saw them.
They looked good.
They had a huge dude on the
line. Yeah, they looked good defensively.
They had a huge guy on the line.
Mm-hmm.
He was, he looked like a college player. He was just a big kid. So I don't know. Maybe he might play a part in it. But, you know, from what I know of and hear of from KPAC, and what happened last year, is that in Deckerville?
That was at KPAC, yeah.
This week will be in Deckerville, though.
Yeah, this week. Yeah, this Wednesday will be a Wednesday game too. So yeah, so.
Oh, it's hard to win in Deckerville. And that'll
Wednesday
be
this week?
Wednesday night game. Yeah.
Oh geez, I might have to drive over for that.
Yeah, we'll see you there, buddy.
If I can't get my eyes on Deckerville, I guess I better get over there and check that out. But should be a good battle.
Same
on Wednesday night.
Yeah, and a hump night. Sam Schneider, two touchdowns rushing, and he also had 51 yards rushing. Lamont was 52 yards rushing and receiving there. So, and the other player, Frank Kobiak, also. Peyton for KPAC. So we're going to see a variety of different players there for KPAC. You know, it comes down to the Dan Brown defense also to stop this, any offense for Deckerville at this point. All right, guys, I think we covered all the eight-player games there, so let's go through the list of games this week. In Week 2, in the Stars division, KPEC versus Deckerville, that's a highlight game, but so is Auburn Hills Oakland Christian versus Kingston, Burton Atherton versus Mayville, Brown City against Dryden, another good question mark there, Mike.
Yeah, so, just because I don't know much about Dryden.
Yeah, now that they're back, you know, and yeah, eight players. So
I think Brown City answered some questions last week. I think obviously it's going to be very hard to be as good as they were last year, but I don't think they're going to have the quite the drop-off that people are expecting from them.
Okay, and then in the Stripes, Ashley versus New Haven Merritt, Akron Fairgrove against Carson LaPorte Chandler. Some answers will be answered there, right?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. I know Scott has mentioned it. Paul even mentioned it. He saw him at the scrimmage in Caseville, that Akron Fairgrove is a sneaky good team in the Stripes. So I'm hoping that CPS can be competitive with them and maybe build some momentum before they hit the road for the season.
Caseville versus Peck, Bay City All-Saints versus North Huron here. Who do you see, like, maybe an upset win here?
I'm a little worried about Peck Caseville.
Just because of the speedy kid,
just
right?
Because of Nathan Feltner. I mean, he's going to be pretty much impossible to stop, and I think most teams are going to feel that same way. Now, I think Peck will be fine offensively against the Caseville defense, and I think overall Peck is the better team, but Nathan Feltner can change a lot of games. So
some great games in a great Athem conference this week also. Sandusky versus Vassar, interesting game there. Carroll versus Memphis. Scotty, are you looking out for that game there, huh? That's an interesting game.
Yeah, I'm planning on driving down there, and hopefully they can notch the first win in Rob McDaniel's tenure as Carroll coach.
Yeah, and then also Cass City against Harbor Beach. That's a highlight game there. So
yeah. Cass City, Harbor Beach. I don't know how to pick that one. I'm kind of struggling with that one right now. I usually go with Harbor Beach when they're at home, but yeah, looking forward to see if Coach McDaniel can pick up that first win against Memphis. As I told you guys earlier, Rob McDaniel is 0-1 in his career against Memphis, and I know that because I was on that team. But that was a long time ago, and you know, I think Scott, we kind of talked about Marlette Carroll when you weren't on the air. Was there anything from Carroll that you'd like to talk about? We kind of focus more on Marlette.
A good Carroll seems more organized this year on both sides of the ball. Need to work on the defense a little bit more. I know that they really wanted to get the offense figured out to begin the season, and they worked on the defense, but not nearly as much from what I heard. So I have a feeling that they're going to be hitting the defense even harder this week, but they looked more organized as far as an offense goes. They didn't look like they were just kind of slinging it everywhere and just hoping for the best. The way they set up, the way that they were running the ball, it just seemed like they had a scheme. They had an idea. They just have to get it figured out. And Rob said, you know, that's going to be one of the big things, is you got to figure out, like, there's a bunch of little tiny pieces to his offense that once you get that figured out, it clicks and it works. And he says, once we get that figured out, like, I have a feeling it's going to be good stuff for us, but it's just figuring out all these little things.
I like how you said organized, but also stability. You know,
what we were expecting from him.
Yeah, for him, because he will, and players will learn from him also. And they'll, and I think something they haven't had because of the stability there is the trust also. And you're going to get that from Coach McDaniel here with his players. So
it just shows you. Today I sent you guys a story in our little chat there, and a former Carroll coach went on to coach at Ann Arbor Huron and stepped down after one game this year and will now retire. So, you know, that's kind of what Carroll has been dealing with, is coaches. It's been a revolving door, sadly. You know, some have went on their own, some have been forced out, some have been let go. So it's just needing to build the stability. And like me and Mike have said, I really hope that the Carroll folks, I really hope that the faithful see that there is change, baby steps, and that they don't say, we want Rob's head after 1 week. So, you know, I think good stuff is going to come. You just have to wait for it.
Okay, and we had Cass City, Harbor Beach, a decent game there, of course. Lakers, Ubley, Bad Axe, Reese, Marlette, Unionville, Sebring. Some interesting games there. Scotty, which one jumps out most at you? I think Cass City, Harbor Beach.
Yeah, Cass City, Harbor Beach is going to be, man, that's going to be a slugfest. That's going to be... you know, there's really nobody, like Mike said, that's a tough one to pick. And that's going to be, you know, that's one where you don't, probably don't want to see a team lose, because you're going to have two really good teams that are going to be playing their hearts out. And it's going to be worth the price of admission, I'm sure.
So week two is looking really great. Algonac versus Elmont in the Blue Water Area Conference. Armada versus Yale. Interesting game there, Mike. Emily City versus North Branch, and then Croswell, Lexington, and Richmond. The game that stands out, I think, Armada and Yale. It kind of stands out a little bit more.
Yeah,
and the Croswell-Richmond game.
That one's at Yale, correct?
I'm not sure. I'll look it up real quick, though.
Okay, because if you got to go into Yale Park. Real quick, I just want to ask
you guys know BWAC a little bit more. Croswell's looking tough to begin the season.
Yeah.
Richmond looks like they're tough as well. That should be a pretty good game too, right?
It should be. At least a lot better than it has been the past couple years. When we talked about the game earlier, Richmond has some defensive standouts, and we kind of saw it in the St. Clair game. That was a 24-6 game.
That is a home game for Yale.
Okay. Yep. That too. Okay. So with Richmond, I could see them trying to turn this game into more of a slow-paced defensive slugfest, but I don't know if they're going to be able to do that against Croslex's offense. That'll be a tall task. Now, Yale Armada, the fact that that's at Yale, that makes a difference, because that's a good home field advantage there at Yale Park. So I guess we'll see. I guess Armada's pretty dang good, though. So,
all right. Anybody else want to throw anything out there? Next week, we'll start covering, I think, we'll start starting off the show off in the 5:30 p.m. hour with other sports.
Yeah.
Cross country, volleyball, we'll start covering that in the first half hour, and then we'll just dive into football 6 to 8.
Yeah, we didn't have a whole lot of volleyball going on last week. Brown City played in a tournament. Brown City Volleyball, they've been playing in some tough matches at the beginning of the season, and they're sitting at 7-7. They have a talented team, and they're testing themselves at the beginning of the season. And we saw it last year. They pushed Marlette to the limit in the regular season. We'll see if they're able to do that again this year. They have a great coach in Jenna Welke, obviously. So I'm excited to see Brown City. Not sure when I'll catch them necessarily. But Scott and I will be in Marlette tomorrow night for the quad there. That'll be Caro, North Huron, Marlette, Croslex. Croslex is 11-1 right now, 5-game winning streak. They've also been playing some tough competition. They went 3-0 last week. And then maybe Kingston, Sandusky will be there for that as well, depending on how the schedule works out. So hoping to get some volleyball in this week, and we'll have more to talk about next week. Unfortunately, the Brown City Cross Country Invitational for this week is canceled. So,
is it because of the conditions?
Because of the weather, it's a little bit underwater. So I don't know that we'll have much cross country for next week. But, you know, tennis season's rolling. And, we'll have a lot more to talk about next week, which is kind of intimidating because we went until the 8 o'clock hour with just football. So,
well, there was a lot of cross other teams that didn't play in conference, so it's going to come narrow down.
Yep.
We'll squeeze it back in, because you know I got to pick up Lola here from work here. Scotty, anything from your neck of the woods that you want to make sure gets mentioned?
North Branch on a rolling volleyball,
well, of course. Yeah,
15-1-1 right now, early on in the season.
Let's just save that clip and replay it every week until they win the state title.
sadly, for me, but you could probably do that. I think they lost one set at the Notre Dame Prep tournament over the week, or over the weekend.
Nice.
So, and then Cass City's actually going down to Notre Dame Prep tomorrow for a different tournament. So I'm not sure exactly what, but they are going to be going on. They've been taking on some tough competition as well. So, my two top squads in the area that made it last year, I think they're definitely on that path again, and they're ready to take on anybody.
Okay. Thank you, Scotty B.
as always, thank you guys.
Yeah, thanks, man.
All right, we'll let him go there. And thank you for tuning into the Thumb Sportsline Radio, High School Sports Roll. Thank you to Mike Gallagher from the Sandlot County News. Pick up your edition this Wednesday, as well as the Tuscola County Advertiser, Huron County View out on Thursday also. All your local papers out there from the Minden City Herald, Huron Daily Tribune.
We got a lot of information from the Port Huron Times Herald for this week's episode. So
Macomb Daily also.
Yep.
Shout out to them.
Subscribe to them. Yeah. MLive, you know. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Have a great night in High School Football Week 2, Thursday, Wednesday, Friday games. My goodness.
Yep. Should be a good week.
Have a good night, folks. Thank you for tuning in.
Celebrating over 50 years on the air, this is AM 660 WMIC Sandusky and 95.3 FM W237 EQ Sandusky.